Well, we have come full circle now. This is the last session of our conference with a great theme that the knowledge of the glory of the Lord would go throughout the world as the waters cover the earth. And one day that will happen. That promise will be accomplished. And so as I was considering my theme, which is the goal of missions, I thought about that, and there's many things we could write under that, right? The goal of missions, and we could have a long list. I was trying to think of it in an ultimate way, the goal of missions. And again, we could mention a number of things under that, I'm sure. But there's one particular verse that came to mind as I considered the goal of missions. An ultimate goal of missions. And it's this passage here in 1 Corinthians 15:24, and it's providential because we began our conference in 1 Corinthians 15, the beginning. And now we're going to end with this passage here towards the middle of the chapter, verse 24. So I'm going to read it again. I'm going to start at verse 22. We've already read the passage this evening, but let me read it again, beginning of verse 22. For as in Adam, everyone dies, but in Christ, we will be made alive. But each in his own order. Christ, the first fruits, then at his coming, those who belong to him. Then comes the end. When he delivers the kingdom to God the Father, after destroying every rule and every authority and every power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The passage we're going to be focusing on is specifically verse 24. What's the goal of missions? Why do we do missions? And here we see one of the ultimate goals. Then comes the end, and notice what is written after that, when Christ delivers the kingdom to God the Father. That is certainly a goal for missions. As we consider the death of Christ upon the cross, he's died for our sins according to the scriptures. He died in place of his people there upon the cross. As we celebrate the Lord's Supper as Christians, we remember his death upon the cross. And one of the clear purposes, ends of his sacrifice is that a kingdom would be established. And that's what we see here in our text. A clear purpose of the death of Christ is that a kingdom would be established. One main biblical purpose that Christ has died for his people is that we would be gathered together as his kingdom. And then one day, as we read here in our text, the end will come and Christ will give this kingdom to God the Father, so that, as we read further down, God the Father will be seen as all in all. So this relates to missions because it's through missions that this kingdom is established. And isn't that an amazing statement? That we get to participate in the building of this kingdom. This worldwide kingdom, as Paul says elsewhere, we are co-workers with God to build his church, to build this kingdom. One primary goal of missions, or we could say the Great Commission, or world evangelism, is that Christ's kingdom would be established and that the knowledge of the glory of God would spread throughout this world. And one day we will see that fully accomplished in the great new creation. One day, the mission will be completed. The end will come. And the kingdom will be established. And my friends, as we do missions and as we consider it on this weekend at this conference, let's keep these things in mind. That the end is coming as we do missions, and one day the kingdom will be established. So the purpose of this final message in the conference is to show how the mission, the end, and the kingdom are closely related, and to spur us on as Christ's people to do this mission so that the end does come and the kingdom is established, and then Christ will hand it over to God the Father. And the focus of this sermon is looking at this topic specifically from our text here in 1 Corinthians 15:24. Again, we read here, "Then comes the end when Christ delivers the kingdom to God the Father." So we're going to look at two main points here in our text: the end and the kingdom. We see this here in our text. So first, let's begin with the end. And usually you don't begin with the end, but this is our first point with the sermon in our text this evening. We see this very clearly in our text, do we not? There is an end. Christians are to believe that there's an end. This world doesn't just keep on going and we're reincarnated and it's just this secular. It's not like that. There is an end. History is linear. In the beginning, God created. And history has been going. It's been continuing in a linear way. Christ has come. He has died upon the cross in history. That was our first sermon in this conference. He has been raised in history. And one day along this timeline, the end will come. There is an end and it's coming. That's the theme of 1 Corinthians 15. As we consider the resurrection here in this very context of this chapter. 1 and 2 Thessalonians deals with the end. 2 Peter, one of the major themes of that letter that Peter writes to us, is about the end. And certainly the book of the Revelation. It is about the end. A kingdom being established, Christ being exalted, and his people being gathered together, as one of the themes in Revelation shows, from all the peoples of this world. Indeed, as is the theme of this conference, the knowledge of the glory of God will cover this earth. And one day when the end comes, we'll see that. Christ's people will behold that. We will participate in that. And I know we look around in our day and age and we see this world and we see all the things that cover this world. And we don't see the knowledge of God and his glory covering this earth yet. What do we see? We see the curse. We see sin. We see destruction everywhere we look. But one day, my friends, this is based upon the word of God. We will see this promise fulfilled and it will come in the end. Jesus' people must believe this fact and live accordingly. Not as if we're going to continue the way it's always been. Peter speaks about that. That's the way unbelievers think. But we as Christians know better. And we should live in light of the fact that the end is coming. The end is imminent. We read in Revelation 22, Jesus himself says, "I am coming soon." The end is imminent. Here in our context of 1 Corinthians 15, it's speaking directly to the return of Christ. He's coming back and then the end comes. It connects the two. Christ's return and the end, as we see here in our text, are the same thing. And Jesus says in the last chapter of the scriptures, "I'm coming soon." Are you ready? Christians have always lived that way. From Christ until now, they've always lived as if Christ is coming back now. And we should. That's exactly the way Jesus has taught us to think. We shouldn't live as if, well, you know, yes, he's coming. Maybe he'll come one day, but I'll probably die first. We shouldn't think that way. Christians should be working while it's day. Because the night's coming and Christ will return and the work will not be done then. The work is to be done now before the end comes. Because this age and this world is soon ending, God's people should not live as if this place is our home. The end's coming. This isn't your home. We will live in a new creation. We will live in the true home where God's people will dwell. And the knowledge of the glory of God will cover that new creation. Jesus' followers should pray that the end comes. Revelation 22, we should pray that Jesus comes. It says there, come, Lord Jesus. Don't you desire that? You're a Christian here. We want to see Christ, right? That's something I pray for. We should all pray for that. We should pray for that as a church, as families, as individual Christians. Christ, come. I want to be delivered from this sinful age. I want to be delivered from this curse. I want the mission to be completed. I want the end to come. Jesus, come. So Christians should be praying that way. God's people should be, as we read in 2 Peter chapter 3, hastening the coming of the day of the Lord. Peter puts it in a very interesting way there, right? As we consider the end, and Peter says, make it come more quickly. Hasten the coming of the day of the Lord. That's the way Christians should think. That's the way Christians should live. Well, how do we do that? And Jesus tells us in Matthew chapter 24, how can Christ's people hasten his coming or cause the end to come more quickly? And Jesus says, by preaching the gospel throughout the entire world. And he says that in Matthew chapter 24, and then the end will come. You see, Jesus connects missions with the end. This is the mission that Jesus has given his people. Are you part of the people of God? Are you a Christian? Are you a follower of Christ? This mission has come to you individually, and it's come to us collectively. That's the mission. That's why we call it missions. Jesus died. He rose again from the grave, and he gave one specific task. One mission, one mandate, one job. One primary focus that God's people should be thinking about and doing. And that's to bring the gospel to the nations. And then the end will come. So this is how the end and missions are closely related. Jesus' followers do missions until the end. Or we could say it another way. The end will come when the mission is complete. Missions isn't going to go on forever. One day, Christ will save all of his people. That's going to be a glorious day. He has died on the cross to purchase with his blood his people from every tribe, every nation, every language. And my friends, one day, that last person that he has purchased with his blood, they'll be brought in. And the work will be done. We do missions until then. We bring the gospel to places where the gospel hasn't gone so that all of his people will be saved. All of his sheep will be gathered into the flock, and then he will return to gather his people together, to gather his bride, and to usher in a new eternal creation. Jesus relates, or we could say connects, the end and missions not only in Matthew 24. What about the well-known passage of the Great Commission? Chapter 28, where his promised presence, and remember what he said there, his promised presence to the end is directly related to the mission. So we see again, Matthew 24, here in our text, Matthew 28 as well. The end and missions are closely connected. Jesus himself talked that way. So one biblical definition of missions, and Jesus' very words, preach the gospel throughout the entire world until the end. That's missions. A biblical definition that we could certainly, should certainly hold to and believe. According to Jesus, the end will come when his followers fulfill the mission. So shouldn't that spur us on to do the mission? And especially the places, the peoples where the gospel hasn't gone. Not continuing to focus on places where the gospel has gone, though there's work that's needed to be done in those places. But not forgetting about the places where the gospel has never gone. The end won't come until the nations have been evangelized. And when the end comes, Jesus will deliver this kingdom. And we can't begin to understand what that kingdom ultimately is. But one day when the mission's done and all God's people are brought in, Christ will hand over this kingdom to his Father. It's like when a king went out to conquer, or he sent his son to go out to conquer lands, the prince, and he conquers all the enemies, and then he goes home and he tells his dad, the king, he's like, I've done the job. And who gets the prize? Who gets the nations? Well, the king does. That's exactly what Christ is doing. Christ is going to the nations. He's conquering through the gospel. John Calvin put it that way. That's missions. And one day, everything will be conquered. Christ will be victorious. That's what we see here. Christ will reign. And then I'll hand over this kingdom to God the Father. That's the end. That's what we're working towards. That's what this conference is about. So that's our first main point here. And we see it in our text in 1 Corinthians 15:24. Then comes the end. And it leads us clearly and directly to our next point. The kingdom. The end comes and Christ will hand over this kingdom to God the Father. There is a kingdom. It's not the kingdom of this world. It's not the kingdom of America. There's a better kingdom. There's a greater kingdom. There's a true kingdom. There's a kingdom of God. That's the theme of the book of the Revelation. His kingdom. Jesus' people must believe this fact and live accordingly. Do you believe that there is a kingdom? And if you're a Christian, that you're already part of this kingdom. And that one day this kingdom will be handed over and delivered to God the Father. Do you believe that? And are you living your life accordingly? Or do we get lost in the kingdom of this world? It's a kingdom not of this world. That's exactly what Jesus said in John chapter 18. He's on trial. And the king asks the king. Or the governor, I should say. The governor asks the king. He says, my kingdom's not of this world. Jesus often used the phrase, the kingdom. Read through the Gospels. He often used this phrase, the kingdom. It was a theme in his teaching. Jesus spoke often and taught often about the kingdom. Especially in the Gospels of Matthew and Luke. Read through those two Gospels and you'll see this theme in Jesus' teaching all over the place. The kingdom. Jesus himself did kingdom work. His work was not about the things of this world. His work was about the kingdom of his Father. And he proclaimed the gospel of the kingdom. In Matthew 4 and in Matthew chapter 9, it says that exact thing. He proclaimed the gospel of the kingdom. Well, what is the gospel? We talk about the death of Christ on the cross. We talk about his resurrection. We saw it in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the first few verses. We understand the gospel. It's a gospel about the kingdom. That's the way Jesus put it. So this too is a biblical definition of missions. Continuing the work that Jesus began by proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom throughout the world. See, Jesus began the work. He went throughout the villages. He went throughout the cities and all the areas. And what did he do? He proclaimed the gospel of the kingdom. What's missions? Missions is continuing that work. We go to the nations, especially the nations that have not yet heard, the peoples that have not yet heard. And we proclaim to them the gospel of the kingdom. So biblical missionaries are those who go to the nations announcing the message of the kingdom. And we should be thrilled to be part of this work. Missionaries who go, churches who send missionaries to be part of this kingdom work. Christ has given us this work to do. And we go to the nations telling them, come to the kingdom. This is the message we announce to the world. We don't go with a message about education. We don't go to the world with a message about politics. We go to the world with a message about the kingdom. That's the only message that matters. That's the only message that will save. You can educate people, they're still going to go to hell. They could have the right political views, they're still going to go to hell. They need to hear the message of the kingdom. And that it's through that kingdom that salvation comes. Christians are to prioritize the kingdom. What does Jesus say in Matthew chapter 6? Seek first the kingdom. Do you? Do you seek first the kingdom of God? Is that who you are? Is that how you think? Is that how you operate? Is that how you spend money and your time? Someone looked at you, they would be able to say one way, this person seeks first the kingdom of God. Wouldn't that be amazing if people said that about us? Unbelievers, fellow Christians, family members, that person seeks first God's kingdom. That's exactly what Jesus told us to do. We are to prioritize. And again, we heard this theme in our conference, the priority of the gospel, the priority of the kingdom. Every individual, listen to this. Every individual in this world, every individual who was ever conceived on planet Earth is either in the kingdom or not. That's how humanity is divided. Not the color of our skin. You know, we live in a day and age now, they want to make divisions about everything. Doesn't matter what color skin you have. Doesn't matter what language you speak. Doesn't matter what country you were born in. What matters is if you're in the kingdom or not. That's what matters. That's how humanity is divided. And the sad reality is, in the very words of Christ, he said, there's a broad road that leads to destruction. That broad road is all those people, the countless multitudes who are not part of this kingdom. And who have one destiny outside this kingdom, in eternal hell. Should that not motivate us to do the mission? The clear fact regarding this kingdom is that Jesus is king. He's the king of this kingdom. Not the president, not the prime minister, not a general. Jesus is king. We read in Zechariah chapter 9, fulfilled in Matthew chapter 21, a great prophecy about Christ. And what does it say? It says, your king is coming to you. And Jesus fulfilled that in Matthew chapter 21 as he rode into Jerusalem. It says in Revelation chapter 1, again, Revelation, a great theme of the kingdom. It says in Revelation 1, Jesus is, and how does it describe Jesus? It says, he is the ruler of the kings of the earth. Think of all the prime ministers and the presidents and the generals, all of the leaders, all the politicians, all of the movie stars, all the rich and the famous. And it says in Revelation 1, Jesus is the ruler of the kings of the earth. Christ is king, no one else. He is ruler, no one else. He is creator, no one else. He's died upon the cross to save his people, no one else. And it is him we proclaim. It says in Revelation 19, Jesus is King of Kings. Isn't that a great title for Christ? Nobody else is. There's one man that's King of Kings, and that man is Jesus Christ. So one of the goals of missions is to declare to the unevangelized people groups of this world that there is no king but Christ. That's the message we bring to the nations. Again, we don't talk about politics. We don't talk about education. Those things, in the ultimate sense, are meaningless. We go to the nations with the singular message that there is no king but Christ. They're worshiping everything else. They're believing everything else. They're held captive by Satan to do his will. And we go to them and we say, you can be delivered from your wrong view. You could be saved from your sin. You could be delivered from your animism or your false religion. And you bow your knee to Christ. That's the message we bring to the nations. And any message that's not this message of the gospel is not about missions. So our response to this, that Jesus is King, our response should be obedience to Christ the King regarding the mission of the kingdom. Right? If he's King, or we should say, since he's King, our response should be obedience and submission to our King. And my friends, he's given us a mission. It's clear. There's not one of us in this room that's unclear or uncertain about the mission. Christ the King has given us this work, given us this task. Our response must be obedience and submission and fulfillment of what we call the Great Commission. And when that work's done, as we saw, the end will come. So the message of missions is calling all peoples, especially those who have not yet been called. Right? Many peoples have been called. Many cities, many nations, many countries have been called. And that's great. And we should celebrate the fact that missions is advancing. But missions is about calling those people, especially who have not yet heard, to allegiance with this King of the kingdom. Well, as we move on under this theme, still our second main point of the kingdom, we consider and we know from Scripture, again in Revelation, that Jesus has made his people a kingdom. It says that in Revelation chapter 1. He's made his people into a kingdom. Are you part of the people of Christ? That's the question. Are you part of this kingdom? Only those who belong to Jesus are part of this kingdom. Our unsaved family, they're not part of the kingdom. Our unsaved neighbors, they're not part of the kingdom. Those lost in all the countries we've been talking about here at the conference, and all the many others who do not know Christ, who have not bowed their knee to this King, they're not in this kingdom yet. What's missions about? Calling them to come into this kingdom. Only those who belong to Jesus are part of this kingdom. So shouldn't that cause us, as those who are in the kingdom, those who are citizens, to bring others in? Shouldn't it cause us to do that? To be more focused, more dedicated, more committed to the work of the kingdom and what we call missions? Christ's people, again, still as we consider this, that Jesus has made his people a kingdom. Christ's people are part of the greatest, most extensive kingdom in history. Think of that. We consider throughout history some of the great empires. You think of Alexander the Great. You read his biographies and it's amazing. We consider the Empire of Rome, all that they conquered, all that they accomplished. And you think about it in history, you're like, wow, that is phenomenal. One of the greatest kingdoms ever. You consider America. Many describe it as one of the greatest nations, empires, countries that's ever existed in history. But my friends, listen again. Jesus' people are part of the greatest, most extensive kingdom that's ever existed. It's a kingdom that will not fail. It's a kingdom that will not end. It's a kingdom that one day we will be gathered together and we will be able to say that we see the knowledge of the glory of the Lord is everywhere. My friends, that's the kingdom we're part of. There's one kingdom you want to be a citizen of. It's this kingdom. You know, a lot of people talk about, you know, what country you're from and where's your citizenship. Our citizenship is in heaven. I think often of the passage in the book of Daniel. The big statue is made. Daniel has this vision. He sees this big statue. All the empires of this world, the greatness of these empires, the power of these empires, the extensiveness of these empires, their fame. And then off in the background comes this mountain, this rock that is not cut out of hands. And it crumbles them all. It smashes them all. That's the kingdom of Christ conquering the nations, conquering the world. Because one day, my friends, that stone, that mountain that is not cut with hands, will conquer this world. And a new creation will come. and that will be it. Unbeliever, don't you want to be part of this kingdom? My assumption is most of the people in this room profess to be Christians. But my assumption is also that there are some in this room that are unbelievers. Old, young, I don't know. If you're not a Christian, don't you want to be part of this kingdom? Don't be deceived by this world. All the empty promises it gives us about being part of its kingdom, it's futile. And this life is a mist that will vanish very quickly. Don't you want to be part of this kingdom? You kids in this room that might not be saved, maybe even some of you older people, join this kingdom. Bow your knee to Christ. Believe in this gospel that we've been proclaiming here at the conference. The gospel that we hear, the gospel that we know. Believe in this gospel. It's the same gospel we announce to the nations. It's not a new message. It's the same message. Be part of this kingdom. Jesus' kingdom is greater than, or we could say surpasses, the kingdom of this world. It says that in Revelation chapter 19. That's the kingdom that we want to be part of. That's the kingdom that we want to see advance, right? That's the kingdom we want to bring to the nations. A kingdom that surpasses, is greater than, is better than the kingdom of this world. If it's not, why would we do missions? We're bringing to them something better, something greater, something eternal that they can be part of. That's what missions is all about. So our response should be to do the mission of establishing this kingdom. That should be our response in this conference. As we hear, starting in 1 Corinthians 15, again, the first few verses, that was the beginning of our conference. And now as we get to verse 24, the end of our conference now, and we're going to end tomorrow morning as well. What should our response be? To do the work of this mission. To see the kingdom advance. So that one day, our theme verse, the knowledge of the glory of the Lord will cover everything. That's what we're working towards. And it's not that it might happen. We hope it happens. It will happen. So get on board. It's going to happen. Don't let the train go by and be like, well, you know, I have no investment in this kingdom. And then we stand before the Lord, empty hands. I don't want to be that person. If you're a Christian, you don't want to be that person, right? We want to put investment into this kingdom. This kingdom is offered extensively to everyone. That's one of my favorite things. You know, it doesn't matter where you go on planet Earth. You could stand on the streets, you could knock on a door, you could go to the jungles, you could go to the deserts. This gospel is offered extensively to every single human being. Isn't that an amazing thing? We could go to anyone and offer them the gospel, give them the gospel, speak to them the gospel, call them to accept the gospel and to believe in this king and to come into his kingdom. We read in Matthew chapter 8 again. Matthew and Mark, Jesus focusing on the kingdom. In Matthew chapter 8, it says, many will come from the east and from the west to recline at table in the kingdom of heaven. He's saying extensively throughout all creation, pick the country, pick the people group, pick the language. People are going to be coming from the east. They're going to be coming from the west. They're going to be coming from everywhere. And they're going to be part of this kingdom. My friends, that's what missions is all about. We could be part of that work. And those of you in this church who stay behind, you're part of that work by praying, by giving, by supporting, by promoting. It's an amazing kingdom. And one day we're all going to be gathered together. And we're going to see each other face to face. We're going to behold our King face to face in the kingdom. And the knowledge of the glory of God will be everywhere. That's what we're working towards. That's what missions is all about. Another way that the kingdom relates to missions is this. Missions is the task of calling all peoples to join the kingdom. That's how missions and the kingdom relate. Again, especially those peoples who have not yet heard. I emphasize this all the time. The New Testament does, and we should emphasize it in missions. The work won't be complete until people from all the world come into this kingdom. So if we don't bring the gospel to those who have not yet heard, the work won't be done. So a purpose of missions is to go to those people groups who have not yet heard the gospel message and call them to enter God's kingdom. I hope you have a burden for those people in this world who have not yet heard the message of this kingdom, the message of the gospel of Christ. Think of the countless people who generation after generation die without Christ. That's one of the things I said to the people in Mocha, where we live and where we minister. And I've told them, I said, Christ has thought of you. He sent me to tell you his word, to preach to you his gospel. And all the peoples before you, think of it, all the peoples before you have died without Christ. My friends, there's places all around the globe that are just like that. And it's our duty to bring them the gospel. The reason we have to bring is because there's no Christians there. That's what missions is all about. They're not going to evangelize themselves. There's no Christians there. So who's going to go? Who's going to tell them? Again, we talked about Romans chapter 10 in our conference. And we all know the context there. Well, how do people get into the kingdom? Again, Jesus talked about this in Matthew. How do people get into this kingdom? Jesus used one word. Jesus said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is here. As we consider the kingdom, and as we invite everyone into this kingdom, how do you enter? How do they enter? How do our kids enter? They repent. That's the one word Jesus emphatically declared to the people. Repent. The kingdom's here. Repent. How do you get into the kingdom? Repent. Turn away from everything that's false. Turn away from everything that's sinful. And follow Christ. That's repentance. Turn your back on all the things of this world. Turn your back on your sin. And bow your knee to Christ. That's repentance. That's how you become part of this kingdom. And if there's anyone in this room who has not done that, you do it today. You repent. You bow your knee to Christ. You follow him. You become part of this kingdom. You don't want the king to return, and you're not part of his kingdom. Missions is about obeying Jesus' call to go proclaim to the entire world that the kingdom of heaven is here. That's what Jesus did, right? He comes to earth, he's like, listen, the kingdom's arrived, and I'm the king. And we as his people, we go to the nations saying the same thing. God's kingdom is here. The king has come. He's going to return. The end is coming. You better join the kingdom quick. That's the message that we pronounce to the nations. So again, this is how missions and the kingdom are related. How should we respond? Shouldn't we be more dedicated, more devoted to the work of this kingdom? We should go home after the conference. We should go home after considering missions yesterday, today, tomorrow as well. We should be praying, Lord, help me to respond, to be more dedicated, more devoted, more committed, more purposed to be doing the work of this mission, the work of the kingdom. That should be our response. And I pray to God that it's your response. You should brainstorm, how can I be more dedicated? How can I be more committed? How can I do more for this kingdom? You might say, well, you know, I'm not the mission. I'm not going to go. Doesn't matter. How can you be more dedicated, more committed? You might think, well, you know, I already am the missionary, so I'm good to go. How can you be more dedicated? How can you be more committed? How can we be more intentional about doing the work of the kingdom and doing, again, what we call missions? This should be our response. And when all the work of missions is done in this world, then, according to our text here in 1 Corinthians 15:24, then the end will come. And that glorious day when Christ delivers the kingdom to God the Father. Don't you want to be part of that kingdom when he hands it over? You don't want the door to be shut and you're standing outside. And think of those people that we're bringing the gospel to. We're here at a missions conference. We're thinking about those nations. And again, emphasizing those peoples that have not heard. We don't want them to be shut out. We don't want Christ to hand over the kingdom to the Father. And all those people that we never brought the gospel to are shut out. Our desire should be to complete the work of missions. If you're a Christian, that should be your desire. I want to see the work completed. I want to see the work finished. I want to see the end come. I want to see Christ come back to get us. That should be our desire. And if it's not, there's a problem. In other words, proclaiming the message of the kingdom to the nations, that should be our desire. So that the end comes and Christ hands over the kingdom to God the Father. So in conclusion, we read here in our text, 1 Corinthians 15:24. We've seen from Scripture that one of the main biblical purposes or reasons for the death of Christ is the establishment of His kingdom. When He died on that cross, one of the things He was doing, He was accomplishing, one of the purposes for His death was that His kingdom would be established throughout the nations, throughout the world. That's one of the main reasons He died upon that cross. We heard that this relates to missions because it's through missions that this kingdom is established. It doesn't just happen by itself. We do missions, and it's through the work of missions that this worldwide kingdom is established. That's how it relates to missions. We've been reminded that one of the primary goals of missions is for Christ's kingdom to be established throughout the earth by proclaiming the gospel to the nations. We saw here from our text in 1 Corinthians 15:24 that the end is coming. That should cause us to have sober reflection. The end is coming. Think of the old people in this room. Those who are, say, 60, 70, 80 years old. And you realize life is shorter than you expected. You young kids, you might not think that way, but one day you will. Our life is a drop in a bucket, right? Our life is a mist. It's a vapor. The end will be here before we know it. We will be standing before Christ before we know it. The end is imminent. And that should cause us to be busy. That should cause us to work while it's still day. Because the night's coming when no man will be able to work. The end is coming, we've seen how the mission, the end, and the kingdom are closely related. We saw that here from our text. Then I brought in Matthew chapter 24 and Matthew chapter 28, where Jesus also makes the connection. So again, the question is, how will you respond? So that's where preaching, and you know, we could say the rubber hits the road. It's not like, oh, well, you know, great talk. Okay, let's go home and eat. You know, how will we respond? That's the question. So the assignment for us here at the conference, when you go home, when you're sleeping on your bed and you're thinking just by yourself, when you're taking a walk, whatever it is, pray to the Lord. Say, Lord, we've been at a missions conference. Help me not to forget. Help us to respond. Help us to be more dedicated, more committed to this gospel of the kingdom. Jesus has died to save His people from among all the peoples of this globe. He's called us to the mission of proclaiming His gospel to all people groups, not neglecting those who have not yet heard, in order that His kingdom is established. And when this work of missions is completed, then the end will come, and Christ will hand over this kingdom to God the Father. That's what we see here in 1 Corinthians 15:24. This is what missions is all about. So let's do it. Let's pray. Father, bless Your word that we've heard here at the conference yesterday and today and tomorrow as well as we gather on the Lord's Day. Send Your Spirit to work in us and by Your power that we would respond and be more committed to the gospel of this kingdom. Amen.